to Real Talk. I'm your host, Susan McCabe, and you are listening to KVSLP Vashon, your island connection at 101.9 FM and voiceofvashon.org. And we can do this show, Real Talk, thanks to the generosity of Windermere Vashon Real Estate, whose support makes all our community information programming and our emergency alert service possible. Find them on the web at windermerevashon.com. Real Talk is the show that explores questions, large and small. And we're continuing a conversation today with one of my very favorite guests, Mary McGinnis. Welcome, Mary.
Well, hello, Susan. Good morning.
Good morning. Mary is a designer with Mary McGinnis Design and Seatown Construction. Last time you were here, Mary, we talked about designing your garden.
Yes, ma'am.
Today we're going to talk about bigger things.
Yeah, how do you just even start thinking about how to design something? How do you
think about what things look like? Or, okay, let's start with, I want to redesign the interior of my living room.
Well, the first thing I'd like to ask you is, are we doing a renovation or a remodel? We talked about that, how some of the words that are used in this trade get kind of confused. So I would have to ask you, so Susan, are you thinking about doing a renovation, which means updating and upgrading everything that already exists? Or are you thinking about doing a remodel? Are we going to change something structural? Do you need windows, walls moved?
All right, let's start. Now I'm terrified.
Don't worry. There's a whole raft of professionals that make this easy as pie for you.
Oh, that's good.
Yes,
ma'am. All right. So let's start with the renovation. I'm going to renovate it's an old house.
Okay.
And I'm going to update it.
Okay, great. So we're talking about new cabinets and new paint and maybe new flooring and things like that. But leaving the structure, that's what we call the envelope of the house, is staying the same.
So does that mean that the elements of the house remain in their current position,
right?
But we make them look more modern, or
right.
Do we make it look like it was originally created?
That is totally up to you. I have had a number of projects that I have taken the house back to its historic context. There are times when you might want to update and modernize things, but the difference between those two things, a renovation means I'm just going to, you know, let's say if we're going to renovate your kitchen, I would come in and I'd help you pick out new cabinets, new countertops, new plumbing, new appliances, but all of those new and beautiful things will go, and they may be rearranged a little bit, like you want your stove in a different place, but I'm not moving any walls. I'm not doing anything structural to your kitchen. That is a renovation.
So a remodel.
A remodel. Now, Susan calls and says, I've decided my kitchen is too small. I don't use my dining room. I'm going to take this wall out. I want a huge kitchen. I want two dishwashers, whatever it is, your dream.
Yes, right.
I want an island. That is a remodel.
Ah.
The reason I ask those is because it doesn't really change the design process, but it changes the scope of the project. You can work with a designer and a contractor to do a renovation. But often when I have to do things that are in a remodel, things that are structural, now I've got an engineer or an architect involved as well. Right? Because I am to an architect. A designer is to an architect what a paralegal is to an attorney.
Oh, that's interesting.
It's the way I've wrapped my head around it.
So
I understand a lot of the process. I work with a contractor. I understand how things are built. But my bailiwick is really how the place is used, how it works, and to make sure that all of that works not only aesthetically, but in how it functions.
So let me ask you a question that comes from listening to my husband, the contractor, who doesn't always like what architects come up with because the designs that architects do don't always work or function appropriately. So would you, as the designer, be the the conduit between the architect and the contractor?
I often work with a contractor. And the thing that's very exciting right now for us is because my husband's a contractor, I'm a designer, and we have all our attending associates, architects and engineers that we work with. We all come together. Ideally, if it is, again, a remodel, when you're actually having to involve an architect or an engineer, it's really important to have all those folks talking to each other because they are different intentions. I don't know if I've told you. So I know my husband, if you ask your contractor, and this is a broad brush, I realize, but my husband is much more concerned with how things are going to be built, right, which is great. I want his brain thinking about how he's going to make this happen.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
And is it possible?
And quite frankly, for enough money, almost anything is possible.
Huh.
have you seen the Burj Khalif?
Okay.
But yes, how possible it is for your budget. A designer is going to look at, I design things for how it's going to be used, how it functions, and the aesthetics of it. And an architect and an engineer will design things for both the aesthetics, but really for the engineering and the structural part of it.
The architect even pays attention to the engineering and the structural part of it?
Well, they have to know what that is. That's kind of a hand-to-hand, engineering and architecture are pretty tight.
I kind of think, and maybe this is incorrect, I kind of think as architects, as the dreamers, the ones who come up with sometimes cockamamie ideas that may or may not work, and that engineers and contractors and maybe designers have to jerry-rig, if you will, those designs so that they function.
Well, that's the crazy thing about my job, is I feel like I sit at this absolutely magical intersection of art and science. You know, that the how things are built is, it's in front of me every day. And the dream part is what I do. I meet with you. This is our nice little segue into the design process.
Yes.
Because the first thing that I do in design of any kind, doesn't matter if it's the interior, the exterior, the garden, whatever it is, and I would be curious if this is the same way in media design, but you sit down and you have an interview process. I need to find out what you want, what you need, what your budget is. I kind of create a template through the interview process. Who's going to use the space? What kind of feelings do you want? What kind of places have evoked those feelings for you in the past?
Well, those are
because
good
I'm
questions.
Pulling lots of elements in. Another thing that I figure out at this point is kind of how to help you. I tell people, I help you figure out how to not shoot yourself in the foot. There's a big part of the design that it is the magic and the dream making, but because I'm also got one foot in the reality of construction, I can help you figure out whether the return on your money is in that project is a good idea, whether just a lot of different reasons it may or may not work out long term and big picture. I love to think about my job as a lot like this kind of three-dimensional chess game that moves forward and backward in time. Well, I bet you had no idea that interior design was so metaphysical.
When you talk about return on investment, are you saying, okay, I may not live in this house forever. I'm going to want to sell it at some point. Will the amount of time, money, material that I'm putting into this come back to me when I sell the house? Is that what you're saying?
That's part of what I help you figure out. And that really depends, again, on what your intentions are. And a lot of times people don't really know. It took me a couple of years, and designers work on this for a long time, to come up with an interview process. You know, when I graduated from school, I was a field archaeologist. I spent a lot of time sitting with people and collecting stories that would help fill in a picture that we didn't have. This is a very similar process. I'm really pulling. Sometimes I warn people at the beginning, I'm going to ask you questions that might not make sense. But when I go back with these answers, I'm writing a story, again, a three-dimensional story that you are a the player. You're the you're the protagonist in this three-dimensional story I'm writing. So I help you figure out who you are and what you want and where you want it to go. Designers can help you figure that process out, right? So I sit down with Susan. I say, Susan, so how long do you think you're going to live here? How many, I mean, is this room for grandkids? Are you guys going to travel? I mean, I have a whole list, and then we put together a template that helps me come up with a concept. That's where the whole process starts. What do you want to do? Why do you want to do it? How are you going to do it?
Do you ask things like, what do you envision? How do you want to feel when you're in this room?
Oh, yes. Yeah, that's what I'm saying. It's probably about a 6-page questionnaire.
Wow.
That I sit down with you. It's about 2 hours the first time we meet. And when one of the things I will let you know, designers, and I found this to be true. I had to start doing this when I designed gardens. I charge for my first meeting with you.
Why?
We can have an interview over the phone. You're welcome to look at pictures. I can send you portfolio pictures to see if there's a connection. Because the fact this is so emotionally based and it's an interview process, clicking is important.
So it's a relationship.
It's a relationship.
So like with your therapist.
Yes.
Your relationship with your designer is important.
Right. And this is a good one. You wouldn't go to your therapist and have your first hour meeting and then go, you know, that didn't really work for me. I don't think I'm going to pay for this session. Oh, I love that. I hadn't thought about that. I found a lot of times early in my design career as a garden designer, people would ask you questions and you would go and you'd spend this time. And I have a really difficult time, not just stream of conscious giving ideas and telling you where you can save money and cut corners and change flow. And then people go, oh, that's great. Well, we'll think about it. And you'd get totally ghosted and you'd drive by there a year later and they had done everything you had talked about. So I learned early on, and most designers will do the same thing. I could save you. I know that in a lot of cases, even at the first 2 hour interview, save you several thousand dollars in making bad decisions.
Right, I think, yes.
Off the bat.
That is true of almost any service. I find the same thing. I am a writer and a communications expert.
Mm-hmm.
And if I do not sit down with my client for a couple of hours and plan and think and look ahead and identify audiences and so forth, the rest of the process is really bumpy.
Yes. Yes, absolutely. So what we're doing, what you always do in this design process is start with that time together. So you will spend some money with a designer for
but
your first meeting.
You're probably saving a lot more than that.
Right. Right. And
by
then
the
at that
finished.
Point, usually for some of the business models I've seen, usually a designer will go and then take and create their design concepts, which is the written part of what you've put together. We write a story about
mm-hmm,
you.
Mm-hmm.
And then basically, which is for me, is solving the problems, looking at the potentials, looking at the function, the form, the style, the quality, the usability, the experience in the space. I take all of those things and I come back with three ideas at a time. Usually, because I have spent a lot of time doing this and I didn't do it as well early on, but usually something clicks with the first three. And then we take that concept, we set everything else aside. Now you can take that concept and run with it yourselves. There's a lot of really talented people who can decorate and like don't mind sitting and looking on the computer for all the parts for their contractor. You know, this is one of the things, gosh, I'm sorry, I know I get kind of disjointed. Everything is time or money anymore.
True.
So all of the things that go into a project, someone has to spend the time looking for that. I have had clients that are more than happy to do that.
Well, and that could be a cost savings.
And it would be a big cost savings.
If I work with a designer at the beginning of the process, mm-hmm. if I work with a designer and get my design, then
you can
it's
take
a matter
over
of taking
and
my
find
time.
Those mm-hmm. things and checking back and forth. you could hire a designer that would be able to come up with concepts and take that all the way to the end. I mean, there are people that do concierge design. Basically, it is, what do they say?
Concierge design.
Compost to coasters, I heard said one day. And this gal does everything. So the thing about working with a designer is you can do as little or as much as you need to do. You can have them pick out everything. You know, I think oftentimes people think that if they're going to work with a designer, that they're giving up their own free will and choice and their own taste. And I'm going to have to buy the room and take what somebody gave me. And that is very far away from the experience I've had with the designers that I've worked with. These are folks that are trying to help you get your vision and your dream and give it form so that you can grab a hold of it.
Well, so that sounds to me also like decorating. So what is the difference between design and decorating?
I love that you asked that question.
I was well trained.
Designers can decorate, but decorators do not design. One of the things that surprised the heck out of me, I got the do not cuss card
right in front of me. Yes,
I caught myself. So I think I had told you, I mean, I have been designing my whole life as both an artist and a garden designer and a landscape designer. And after I married John, he said to me, because he really hates, I shouldn't say hates. John loves to build things. He doesn't want to spend a lot of time with people figuring out how they feel about things so that they get their dream. He'd like somebody to tell them what the dream is and then build it for him. So he said to me one day when I was thinking about going back to school, he said, why don't you go back and become an interior designer? I hate picking out faucets. I was like, oh, that seems a really good idea. I love that kind of stuff. And I love patterns and da-da-da-da. So my first day in school, I was absolutely shocked because being an interior designer was a technical degree.
It is not an arts degree.
It was the amount of drafting and computer sciences that went into that. And decorating is decorating the space. It's choosing the finishes and the colors and the way patterns and mass and all of those things that go into design, repetition, you can see those. There are people who have brilliant eyes, right? They can see the aesthetics. They can come in. If that's all you need, that's a decorator. That is I love a good decorator.
So is
a designer is going to come in and tell you about how much room you need to get the job done that the room does. How much space? If there's two people who cook in here, this is we call it a two-butt kitchen. Mm-hmm. So the spaces between things are better. We have work triangles, which say that I have to limit the amount of steps between the sink, the stove, and the fridge. Those are the things I'm trained in, kind of the physiology of space use, all of the ADA restrictions and compliance issues. Those are the things that go into becoming an interior designer. You work with architects. I can do the kinds of drawings that can get permitted. I can do sections of buildings. I mean, there's a lot of, again, I do a lot of the work that an architect, I can't do any of the things an architect can do, but I can do a lot of the structural design of things. That didn't make sense.
So is the designer essentially implementing the architect's vision?
I do a lot of design work without architects that I can work with. If the house doesn't need to be redesigned, this gets very complicated because the words mean the same thing in different fields.
Oh, that's interesting.
Yeah. So a decorator changes the surface. It's kind of like from the walls out. Okay? Everything that you see, a decorator can do. A designer takes everything in the room and then the walls and the windows and the doors. So a decorator I haven't cleared that up at all.
It almost sounds to me, if I were going to try and paraphrase what you're saying,
that would be helpful right now, Susan.
The designer creates the bones and some of the flesh of the room, and the decorator puts on the costumes and the makeup.
Yes, and because of the way a designer works, a lot of designers do all of that. I make the bones, I flesh it out, and I put the beautiful costume on it as well, because that's the training that I received. And there are folks that can have called themselves interior designers that don't have the technical background, and you run into a lot of problems because you have to understand how the building is built.
Right, how it's going to work.
Right, so the decorators won't build the building, but a designer will build the building and put the dressings on it as well.
If you want them to.
If you want them to.
So what if I have to do this by myself? And I want to remind our listeners, you're listening to Real Talk. I'm Susan McCabe, your host, and I'm talking with designer Mary McGinnis about architecture, design, remodeling, renovation, and decorating, so that you can look at your home or your garden, I suppose. Let's stay with homes. And figure out who you need, when, and what you can do for yourself. So, Mary.
Yes, ma'am.
We were talking about the difference between designing and decorating. So, if I have a limited budget, where would you say I should put the majority of my money into designing or decorating?
Well, honestly, I would spend it with a designer. I would spend that initial $200 to $500 to have them help you flesh out the idea. What do you want to do? You know, do you want to just, you know, I could come in, I could make a decision or make the suggestions to make changes in the space. I had a friend who thought she was going to have to move as she got older, and we did some changes in the space about how, because it wasn't just so much how she moved, but it was about how she felt when she was moving. When you start to have mobility issues, if you feel crowded, if you fear that you're going to trip, that starts to affect how you feel in your space, and it becomes an underlying discomfort. And so instead of moving or doing a big remodel, we went in and we changed the furniture around. The solution was that simple.
Wow.
So not only was it the initial design consultation, it was also me taking the ideas and saying, you know, I think we can solve this problem without doing these extreme measures. Then there are other cases where, and this kind of goes back to that first question you asked me about, how do I figure out what I want to do?
Yeah.
You know, that's part of, again, this design process. Sometimes that return on your money isn't necessarily tied to selling your house, right? You really want something to happen. You are going to stay in your house. You want to spend the money to get what you want. I've met a lot of folks that's what they want to do. They want to customize their space. It doesn't matter how much money they're getting back. So that's great.
They want it to work for them.
They want it to work for them for as long as they're going to be in this house. Then there are folks that are trying to get this to happen, to change over quickly. So we make suggestions that will make that return. You know, one of the things we want to do a lot of times when I go in and people are going to think about selling a house is my husband, John always says, you can't sell funky. And so sometimes in a house, we'll go through and we'll just look for things that are odd and undo some of the odd things rather than think about doing things. There's also things to consider if you're going to sell your house. This is always a hard thing to get people to say to people, but you can't always cheap out on a remodel to sell your house because the kitchen looks dated. Mm-hmm. If you're going to sell $250,000 or $500,000 house, it kind of dictates a certain level of kitchen. And I see a lot of folks come in and go, well, I'd like to do a Home Depot remodel and update this kitchen. It hasn't been remodeled since the 80s. I've got $30,000 to spend. It's like, that house, I mean, it's going to look like you put, it's just not going to fit. It won't be right. Does that make sense?
Somewhat, yeah.
You're better off to not, if you can't do the quality of remodel, this is a whole nother discussion that we have with people during the design process. When we get asked a lot of times about how much something is going to cost, there are different levels of quality of materials all the way along. And I have to help you decide, what are you willing to do? How much money do you have to spend? Because you can't change the money on a project on the labor, right? It kind of costs what it costs to build walls and put in doors, right, and put in sinks.
But you can adjust,
but you can
the
adjust the cost. You can, if you're going to put in a kitchen sink, I've put in a $100 sink. I've put in a $3,000 sink. You know, I mean, that's where
that's a sink.
That's a sink. And there are those kind of quality issues that I help with.
What about the notion, too, of fashion? It seems to me that certain materials are in fashion. Some stick for a while and others don't. You have to be on top of what's in fashion and what's going to stay there. These are pretty permanent things you're doing, like countertops and sinks and kitchen islands, cabinets. How do you stay abreast of what's in fashion and what's going to, what is your recommendation for how to make it last?
Well, I think good design is timeless. I never thought I'd say this. There's a benefit to being
old.
Old. I was looking for some euphemism that wouldn't make it sound so bad.
Seasoned. I like that one.
Experienced. You know, when you see things come and go, I mean, there's a one there, you know, good design. It's good bones. It's a good black dress. And yeah, the shoe styles change every year. That's what can change. You know, decorating can change. I tell people all the time, I'm like, because I'm kind of a fiend. I know how to paint. I've been a painter before. I mean, when I say paint walls. So it is nothing for me to change the color of that inside of my house. I know there are people that agonize over that, and it's a horrible, like the fear of change. I'm like, gotta put that up, lived with it for a week. Weather change, clouds are different. Don't like the color, gonna paint it today. So decorating, the surface stuff can be changed.
But what about things like countertops, like granite, yeah, or, you know, that's pretty permanent.
It is really permanent. It is pretty permanent. It's very interesting. There are a lot of parts of this job that, surprisingly for me, because I'm really connected to the construction end of this, you know, because our company, not only do I design your kitchen, but my husband has to build it. And so we're trying to stay on track. I don't just hand this project over and then never see that, it's never hear about it again. I'm with it. Because I even if you haven't hired me to manage the project, we're talking about it at dinner. It just
yes,
I totally lost.
So the question was
about the
granite or
granite.
Or
so what happens? I am incredibly surprised at how commerce driven some of this is. Okay, so currently I'm having a really difficult time getting standard countertops because of the tariffs. Some of the they've not only gotten more expensive, but the suppliers are looking for other countries of origin. So a lot of times I have to make choices based on what I can get for you that will be there in time for you to get your project done. It's very complicated.
It is. It's not simple, and we are simply out of time.
Oh, did it again.
Once again. We've been talking on Real Talk with designer Mary McGinnis from McGinnis Design and Seatown Construction about design, the difference between design, or rather renovation and remodel, yeah, decorating and design, and Mary, I think you've helped a lot of folks figure out what they have to do first and next if they're thinking about a remodel. Thank you all for listening. This is Real Talk. I'm Susan McCabe, your host. If you've got some questions you'd like answered, send them to me at realtalk@voiceofvashon.org.